verses 22 through 30, and that is on page 104. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered round him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." And this is the word of God for we, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. That story of Peter raising Dorcas from the dead in Acts is focused not on Dorcas' belief, because she's gone on, and it's not based on any of her friends' belief. It's based on Peter's belief. But there's one power that's present, that's there. And whether Peter speaks the Word of God or someone else speaks the Word of God, the sheep know the master and follow his word. My sheep will listen and know me. When we look at this, oftentimes people will say, well, the Jews rejected Jesus, and paint them in a light that is pretty prejudicial, pretty negative. How many of you have lived your lives without sin? Okay, now, realizing that rejecting Jesus is to sin. Reject Jesus, reject God, reject the Holy Spirit, that's sin. That's when we're disobedient. That's when we're walking the other direction other than. So, how many of you think you're in the same boat? Now, granted, we weren't there at Pontius Pilate, and we didn't get the choice of Barabbas or Jesus. But if we've sinned and fallen short of the grace of God, then we're just as guilty. Because what we've done has put Christ on the cross. I know it's the most pleasant. Certainly, I would not do anything with Jesus on the cross. Right? But I have. Jesus went to the cross for sin. Every one of us has done sin. Ergo, we put Jesus on the cross. Just as much. Now that also holds true for all of you. You have to look at your neighbor, look in front, look back, and say, you did it. We recognize that there's a difference between being in the same boat and listening to the master following. You know, our ears are open and we're still hearing, much like but she better tell me a second time because I didn't get it the first. Because I'm not really paying it like I should be. But when we look at this, how Jesus is rejected by the Jews, they were expecting him to come and perform miracles that they wanted done. They wanted to okay, we're going to set the ground rules for this miracle. You fed 5,000 people. Well, we want to see that. I mean, we want them all to count. We want to make sure we get 5,000 people. Oh, and those 12 loaves, or those 12 bushel baskets of the loaves and the fishes left over, we want to check that. And, you know, we're going to send that to the Food and Drug Administration to make sure those were... We don't get to do that. And the Jews, they didn't get to do that. Couldn't they hear the people talking? Couldn't they hear the stories about what Jesus... Yeah, but they wanted something they could test, something they could measure, something that they could, you know, put their hands in the nail, his hands, his feet, and they wouldn't believe until then. Well, the work lied to me. Whether it's feeding the 5,000, standing at Lazarus' tomb and commanding him out, or the blind man who'd been blind since birth and now he can see, or the lame man who his four friends tore a roof off of a house so they could lower him on the mat. And it wasn't his faith that Jesus healed the man for. It was the faith of his friends. But faith was the ingredient. The power of God was there. But think of it. Did that. One was because that's what God had sent him to do. Okay? Second is that he did that to show and demonstrate to the world that even the storms obey the word of God. Who's been tortured by them for a number of years. When we think about what we think about is we want to see those miracles, but we really want to see. So did the Jewish leaders of that time want Jesus to show and demonstrate these powerful miracles, and then they would believe. You do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. Wait a minute. These are the Jewish leaders of the Jewish church, the Jewish faith at that time. His sheep? Because they don't believe. It's their doubt and their despair. Disobedience. Believe because you do not belong to my sheep. Sheep. I know them. They follow me. How do you think Jesus knows you? He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you better than you're willing to admit to anybody else. And in spite of that, he still loves you. In spite of that, he goes to the cross to save you. Jesus says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. Now, when someone says eternal life, what does that image illustrate to you? Eternal life. Like life forever. Like a lot of years. Time. Well, the Greek word that's used for this can be translated as either everlasting or eternal, in the sense of a long time. But more importantly, the commentators say that translation is not so much a quantity of years, like infinity and beyond, Buzz Lightyear. That was supposed to be allowed. Come on, girls. Buzz Lightyear, infinity and beyond. Oh, goodness gracious. That was my big joke. Things don't always work out the way you plan. He promises them an eternal life, and that eternal life is not so long. It is so full. It is so good that nothing else matters. Not just of years, but the quality of years. Those years, you know, most of us can remember, what you're like 27 to 50. 27 to 50. Were those good years? How would you like to have those years, your health and your attitude and your activity and your energy level, how would you like to have that much and maybe a little bit more for an eternity? Put me down for that. Have a whole bunch of years, but a bunch of really good, better than we can ever imagine. Now, not everybody. They're going to be great when we're working for Him. No one will snatch them out of my hand. No one can. It's your decision. Now, oftentimes, in a different direction, and we wander away from Christ. But God does not. What the Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. So what Jesus is telling them in this piece is, A, if you're seeing or hearing what Jesus has done, that is proof positive that Jesus is the Messiah. Because all of the prophetic writings about the Messiah said that the lame would leap, the blind would see, the dead would rise again. All of these prophetic miracles, as it were, that would be performed, that would give evidence and credibility to the power of the Messiah and tell us, this is the Messiah. Well, how's He the Messiah? Because look what He's done. Listen to what people have said He's done. He is the Messiah. The other piece is those of us who believe know His voice when we hear it. It's really hard if you've never read the Bible, had it read to you, listened to it. You've never been exposed to the Word of God or realize it when you hear it. Might not necessarily realize exactly what it is. But we hear God, the Word of God, and we hear that coming from Jesus. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Nothing was created without Him. And He took on flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us. That's Jesus. That's what we have. So, His miracles are there as evidence of who He is. The second is we should believe in Him because we can hear His voice. We can see that. We're His sheep. And the other piece is, not only do we hear His voice, know Him, and believe, but we follow after Him because He says we're never going to be lost as long as we believe and follow Him, that He will always be there with us. John chapter 6 says, as Jesus is challenged by some other people, they want to be fed bread. And He says, I come not to do my will. See, that's the other piece about Jesus, is He doesn't come to establish a kingdom that He's the head of. He doesn't come and establish a kingdom on this earth like King David or King Solomon. Jesus comes to establish a kingdom that will know no end. Jesus comes to establish a kingdom in which the sheep know the Master, hear the Master, follow the Master, and will never be lost. Ever, because they believe and they know and they recognize. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Whether it's 2,000 years ago in that place of Galilee, along the Sea of Galilee, northern part of Israel, or whether it's here in Middlesex County, on the western bank of the eastern shore, just 4 short miles, give or take a tenth or two from Stingray Point. the same voice is calling. Being the sheep of Christ is no bad thing. Knowing the Master's voice is a really, really good thing. Listening to it and obeying it is even better, because He gives us a promise, and He always fulfills His promises. Oh, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And don't think a big number of life. It's a quality of life. It's the best life that you've ever experienced. And then... He's got your back. He's got your front. He's got all of you. But you have to confess that. You have to believe that, and then you have to live it like you believe it. Shalom.